It always does you good to worship God. It really does. It puts something sweet on the inside. So I'm going to be talking this morning, continuing the series about the vision of the church. And if we could have the PowerPoint up, that'd be good. And if you don't know what the vision of the church is, you can find a leaflet in the rack at the back. But we're going through some of the things that are really important for us as a church. If you don't aim for something, then you'll never become anything. And as believers, we need to aim to be like Jesus. But of course, you know, you can break that down a bit. And so we have this vision statement where we define as a church what we aim to become. And I've talked about the name of this talk. It's called The Power of an Ordinary Life. Yeah, Trish can't see, can you? I'm going to move here. Then you might be able to see. And, yeah, I thought there was another slide there. There we are. The vision statement, one of the things that it says is this, that we aim to be a people of faith among whom the supernatural is commonplace, where healings, answers to prayer, and divine intervention are experienced daily. And, you know, God invites us to live a supernatural life. And things like supernatural healing, we've experienced quite a lot of that in the church. There are people in this room here today who've been prayed for and supernaturally healed. We experience that God speaks to us. We experience that he does unusual things in our lives. You know, he intervenes circumstances. And, you know, God is a supernatural God, and he wants us to live a supernatural life. But I think one of the problems with, you know, talking about the supernatural, and, you know, we read books by Bill Johnson and Heidi Baker and some of these great heroes of the faith, and every other page it's like there's some amazing miracle, you know, feeding thousands with two loaves of bread and, I don't know, all sorts of miraculous money falling out of heaven. And the trouble with things like that is that you can start to get a little bit discouraged, because, you know, you and me, we're often just a little bit ordinary, and our life is like more run of the mill. You know, we get up and we do the same thing on Monday and Tuesday, and so I want to talk today about how God wants to put power into our ordinary life. The power of an ordinary life, just in the ordinary things you do, going to work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or the things that you do, visiting your family and going shopping and things like that. God wants to work through things like that, through ordinary people, to put his supernatural power in. Now, yeah, we tend to think of ourselves like, you know, we're not some spiritual superhero. I don't know if any of you feel that you're Superman. Do any of you feel like you're the answer to all the world's problems? I don't think there's many people that feel like that. And that's probably true, that, you know, we're just ordinary. But the ordinary things that we do, if we do them with God's help, can become supernatural and they can become special. And so I've got four or five things that are ordinary things that I'm going to talk about, that if you do them right, your life can become very extraordinary. So the first one is the power of a quiet time. Now, this is quite old-fashioned in some ways, and I don't know if they talk about this much in a lot of churches today. But when I was a young Christian growing up, people talked a lot about how important it was every day to have a quiet time. And it's something that I started doing as a very young Christian, and I've done it all through my life, not every day of my life, but almost every day of my life, I take time aside and I read my Bible and I pray and I meet with God. And if you do that, it changes every day of your life. And the thing is that you never know when the worst day of your life is going to come upon you. You know, you could get up in the morning and the sky could be blue and everything could be fine, but you don't know what's going to happen that day. Something terrible could happen. Something great could happen. The question is, are you prepared for the worst day of your life, which could be today? If we knew ahead what was going to come, we'd live differently, wouldn't we? We'd prepare ourselves carefully on the inside for the day that was about to come. You never know also when will be the greatest day of your life from God's perspective. You know, when God looks back at your life, there's probably one day where you really lived as like a superhero Christian. I mean, you forgave people and you gave and you prayed and you did lots of amazing things, and God will look back and go, that day was a really good day. You lived so close to me and you prayed for this person. Whatever it is that happens, when will that day be? And, you know, I go quite a lot to Norway with my work. In fact, I was there this week for 2 days. I just got back yesterday. I know most of you didn't miss me. But about 15 years ago in Oslo, there was a revival in the city and hundreds of people started turning to God. And they were mainly former drug addicts and people from the New Age movement. It was a time around the start of the New Age thing, and a lot of people were coming to get saved. And the revival was led by this young man called Kjell Åsmundrud, and he was just a young guy, about 30 years old. And so he became very much in the spotlight, and he was in the newspaper, and they had meetings every night, big meetings, hundreds of people. People would come from all over the country to these meetings. And he had a wife who was just, you know, nice, ordinary, strong Christian, but she hated to be in the limelight. And it was difficult for her when this revival happened, because the newspapers were asking her questions and everyone was coming and looking at her and talking. And, you know, she didn't like that. And then, after it had gone on for a while, this guy, Shell, started developing an unhealthy relationship with a lady who was like a high priestess in some strange New Age cult. And suddenly, one day, he just ran off with her, left his 3 kids and his wife, and this whole movement with hundreds of people, he just abandoned it to go off and live with this New Age high priestess. And the media were coming, knocking on the door of this woman, you know, his wife, asking what's going to happen now, and, you know, if he was a Christian, why has he done this, and what are you going to do? And all the church were knocking on her door, what's going to happen? And she said, you know, and her own life, her children were saying, when is our dad going to come back, and when is my husband coming back? And she said, at that moment, you know, my whole life could have fallen apart. But she said, I just decided to live that day as I lived every day, that I'd get up early and I'd spend time with God, reading my Bible and praying, and then just doing the best I could every day. And she said, that quiet time that I had with God every day saved me. And she stood strong as a Christian. She's still following God now. Her children have grown up and they're wonderful Christians. The other guy is just far off in some crazy thing. But just that daily meeting with God at the start of every day, it holds you in the storms of life. It's an anchor. And I can't encourage you too much. Every day, give God some time. Even if it's just 10, 15 minutes, if it can be more, better. But if nothing else, give God 10, 15 minutes every day, and you'll find that your life is anchored, and that when disaster comes, you'll have a strength to lean back upon. So part of that is the power of reading the Bible. And the Bible is the Word of God. It's the foundation on which we can build. Do you remember Jesus told the parable of two men who were building a house? One built on sand, the other built on the rock. And Jesus said, everyone who hears my words and obeys them, he's the man that builds on the rock. When the storm comes, if your house is built on the rock, it's not going to fall down. And it's interesting that, Jesus went into the desert one time, and he was tempted by the devil. And there is such a thing as the devil. You know, the devil is real. And he'll come and he'll tempt you. He'll try and destroy your life. He'll try and push you towards wrong things. And he'll try and break up your family. And he'll try and do all sorts of things that are harmful, because that's who he is. He's the opposite of God. And he just wants death and destruction and darkness to come into your life. And he came up against Jesus one time, and it was at the time Jesus had been fasting for 40 days. He was by himself. He had no friends to help him. Physically, he was feeling weak. It's often those times where we're feeling weak and we're alone that the enemy comes to try and push us. And he tempted Jesus with three different temptations. We're not going to look at them this morning. But what is interesting is that each temptation that came, Jesus replied, "It is written," and then he quoted a verse from the Bible. Do you know that the three passages that Jesus quoted come within two chapters of each other? They're all between Deuteronomy chapter 6 and Deuteronomy chapter 8. And I suspect, although I can't prove it, that morning, before he got up, Jesus had read just those two or three chapters from the Bible. You know, the Bible's a long book and we can't read all of it every day. But God has a mysterious way of working in this way, that the thing that you read in the Bible in the morning just so often happens to have something in it that will be the key to success in your day ahead. And I believe that Jesus read that little passage that morning, and it was there in his mind. He was thinking and praying over it. And when the devil came, he didn't need to try and remember some obscure scripture he'd read 3 years ago, but that which he'd read this morning that was fresh in his mind contained the answer he needed for that day. And three tests, he came up with three different scriptures from that short passage. I'm not pressing my button quick enough. So it says in the book of James that when we read the Bible, it's like looking into the mirror, James 1, 22 to 25. And it says this, when you read the word, don't just listen to it and so deceive yourself, but do what it says. And he goes on to say that it's like looking at your face in the mirror. That, you know, when you look at your face in the mirror, at least some people, you know, they make adjustments. Unfortunately, you can't adjust the mirror. Well, you can turn it round. The idea is that you adjust yourself. You know, you sort of change something with your hair, or you put makeup on. Or Trish is looking at me as if, yeah, I need to do it more often, don't I? But, you know, the idea of looking in the mirror is that you adjust something. You change yourself so that you match up with what the picture should be. And that's what it should be when we read the Bible. We read something in the Bible, and then we look at our own life, and we go, okay, how am I different to that? What do I need to change so that my life can become more like that? It says in the book of Romans, chapter 12. Do not conform yourself to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The more you read the Bible, the more you get it on the inside of you, the more your life changes to become supernatural. The more your circumstances and your family change. And, you know, there are so we don't live up to the level of the scriptures, any of us. But we need to start pushing ourselves up. If we want to be people that live a supernatural life, the scripture needs to take a bigger place in us. It says in the Bible that the tongue has the power of life and death. And speaking the scripture out over our life is so important. It really changes things. So often we just confirm the negative things and we speak them over our life. Oh, I'm never going to get through this day. Oh, that person is so difficult. I'm never going to be able to get on with them. Your tongue has the power of life and death. Well, what you're saying, you're creating something that is going to happen. Just like God created the world by speaking, you create an atmosphere by the words that you say. And you say things and then you have to live in the atmosphere of what you're saying. And you try and listen to yourself. So many negatives come out of our mouth. Critical and negative things where we're putting ourselves down and we're saying we can't do this, that could never happen to me, I could never have that healing, or I could never give a prophetic word like that. So many things, and yet the power of life is in your tongue. It says about God in the book of Romans that God gives life to the dead and he calls things that are not as though they were. So when God created the world, there was nothing there and he spoke out, let light come, and light suddenly came. He spoke it into being. And we can do that into our life. Our family can be a shambles, but as we start speaking out what the word of God says, the promises of the Bible over our family, things start to change. New things start to come. And there's so many precious promises in the scripture. You know, that if we believed them, if we started speaking them over our lives, things would be very different. Here are one or two for our children. This is one of my favorite one. I will contend with those who contend with you, and your children I will save. There's always a devil, there's always difficult people and hard circumstances, but the Bible promises, I will contend with those who contend with you, and your children I will save. We need to speak that promise over our children. There's another one, if I can get this to work. The children of your servants will live in your presence, and their descendants will be established before you. There's actually a lot of promises where God promises to bless our children. But that's another special one. The children of your servant. If you're a servant of God, that's a promise for you that the children of God, the servant, will live in the presence of God. Okay, here's another one, a good one. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. You've got a difficult day. Don't worry about how you're going to get through it. Quote the scripture. And, you know, the more you memorize and learn and speak these scriptures, the more you'll live in a different way. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever situation, God has a way to give you a victory in it. So here are some to do with healing. If you're feeling sick or you know a family member or a friend who's ill, the punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Another one for healing. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Any of you suffering from arthritis, this is a scripture to nourish your bones, to bring health to your body. So, and then another one, whoops. God satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. You're feeling old and wrinkly and weak, and, well, God wants to renew your youth. He wants to give you health and energy. So there are many others. These are just a few of the promises. And there are many promises in the Bible that as we read them and apply them to our life, then things start to change. So the power of the Bible, and now the power of ordinary prayer. And I think sometimes, you know, in a church like ours, put that one away for a minute, in a church like ours, where we love the Holy Spirit and we, you know, love anointed prayer and special meetings, I think we can look down sometimes on ordinary, boring prayer. And, you know, there's some people who pray by writing lists. And I think that's absolutely fine. You know, write a list of the things that you need to pray for and just pray for it. Because ordinary prayer, where you just get before God and every day you pray for your family, you pray for this, different situations that are important to you, and you have a list to make sure you don't forget anything. I think that's something that is really powerful. D.L. Moody, he was an American revivalist, he said, when I get to heaven, the biggest wonder after that of seeing Jesus will be that I used so little of the power of prayer. You know, God has entrusted us the power to change our situations. He says, anything you ask for in my name, I will do it for you. But so many of the things that are difficult for us, we actually don't remember them before God in prayer. We wish and we hope, but that is different to prayer. And spending time asking God really makes a difference. Now, there's a little girl called Hope. And when she was 9 years old, she was in her church. And at the back of the church, there was like a missionary newsletter. And in that newsletter, it had the story of the Mongolian people and how, you know, the people in Mongolia, they, you know, had very difficult lives. There were many that were alcoholic and there were lots of social problems. And there were almost none of them at that time that were Christians. They lived in a spiritual darkness, many depressions and suicide and lots of things like that. And it really touched the heart of this little girl called Hope. And she started praying every day for the people of Mongolia. Every night before she went to bed, she'd start praying. And her mum was really surprised but encouraged it. And they looked up in books and anything they could find about Mongolia. They're looking at pictures, how the people lived in these yurts and they run around on their horses and, you know, all that sort of thing. And then a few months later, in that same church newsletter, there came an article and it said this, Hope touches Mongolia. And it was almost like a prophetic little thing. It talks about in the last few months, God has started to do something new in Mongolia. And the article was titled, Hope Touches Mongolia. And that mother said, I'm sure that that has something to do with my little girl every day praying. And it talks about how people had started to become Christians and one or two missionaries had gone there and new things were coming to the people of Mongolia. And then after a while, a few months later, they planted a church. And they actually called it the Church of Hope in Mongolia. Now, isn't that amazing? That's a fantastic story of what can happen when one person prays. And, you know, in our church we have various prayer meetings. We've got one tonight, and I've moved too far. You know, prayer meetings are not always the most interesting meetings. In a prayer meeting, you sit around and you ask an invisible person to do something that, you know, someone thinks about. And then another one sits and asks God to do something else. And they prayer meetings can be not the most entertaining of meetings sometimes. But I, you know, I've been in a lot of prayer meetings, some good and some not so good. And sometimes you never get to find out what happens through the prayer meeting, but sometimes you do. And I was in a prayer meeting in Iceland one time. We had a special week of prayer. And one particular day, we just felt we should pray over the issue of abortions. And in Iceland, they had very high, you know, youth abortions, and a lot of kids, you know, they never took contraception, they get pregnant, and then they just have abortion, almost like a form of contraception. And we're just praying that God would work in that situation. And I remember praying specifically in this prayer meeting, God, I just pray for all the young girls who are thinking of having an abortion today or tomorrow, you know, this week, that you would intervene in their life and you stop them. And, you know, we all said amen. And, you know, many prayers like that, you never know what happens. But it just so happened that that evening, we had a youth meeting in Reykjavik, in the capital city. And, you know, there were quite a lot of young people there, and they're playing their guitars and this loud music. And, you know, lots of people we didn't know were coming in and so on. And at the end of the service, the preacher, who wasn't me, it was one of my friends, gave an appeal, anyone who wants to meet God, come forward. And this young lady came forward and started talking to the preacher. And it turned out that she'd been booked to have an abortion the next day. But she was in so much turmoil in herself. Should I do it? Shouldn't I do it? You know, I don't know the boyfriend. It was just a mistake, but, you know, is it right to kill this little baby inside me? And she said, I was in such turmoil, I just went out of my house and I was just walking the streets, wondering what I should do. And I didn't know where I was. You know, I just passed this building I'd never seen before, and I heard all this loud music, and I saw these young people in and out, and I thought, oh, that, I wonder if it's a party. I'll go in, maybe it'll make me feel better. And it was a church. And someone was preaching about how God loves you. And in the end, she came forward and she gave her life to Jesus. You know, she never had that abortion. The child was born and grew up within the family of the church. But you don't know the difference that your ordinary prayer can make. We pray and God hears those prayers. And he takes those prayers and he answers those prayers. And we can put all sorts of things into place in the spiritual world just through praying ordinary prayers. And it doesn't matter if you don't shake or you don't feel anything, you don't feel, you know, some special glow from the Holy Spirit, but you just pray according to the will of God. That prayer is never wasted. It goes up before God and it will make a difference. There's great power in ordinary prayer. I could talk more about that, but I want to move on. The power of an ordinary testimony. God has done special things for each of us. And you might think, I'm not a preacher, I could never stand up there like John, I couldn't say that, you know, my life's just ordinary. But if you think about it, God has done something in your life. He means something to you. He's made you feel different on the inside. And just that ordinary testimony that you might think is nothing special could change somebody else's life. It says in the book of Revelation about the end day church that they triumphed over the Antichrist, in fact, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They changed the world by the word of their testimony. And quite a long time ago, this man down there with the moustache, that's actually my son who's now 21 years old, Jacob, when he was a baby, I took him with me to Africa. And I go quite a lot to Africa. And, you know, a lot of people think, I could never really do anything in Africa. I mean, if I went, what would I do? What difference could I make? And at the time, we were just working on the Long Hill Council Estate, me and Kathy. And this guy was a guy in the church there called Kelvin. And he'd had a little time in prison, you know, he'd been a naughty lad and been in prison. And he'd been unemployed for probably 20 years since he'd come out, or 10 years, long time since he came out of prison. He hadn't worked. And he had no GCSEs. You know, he had no qualifications in life. He was just an ordinary guy. But he became a Christian and he loved Jesus and he read his Bible a bit and he prayed and he wanted God to use him. And so I invited him to come with me to Africa. And of course he had no money, but he saved up and people gave him money and he came. And so there we were in Africa and we were trying to share our faith and we were with other people who were professional missionaries. And there was one particular day we went round this Tuareg encampment. It's a tribe of people who were living really as refugees. They'd lost their lands and they had almost nothing. And, you know, the missionaries tried to share the gospel and you could tell nothing was going in. And then this guy, Kelvin, just said through an interpreter, "Can I tell you my story?" And just in simple words, you know, in his East Hull accent, he said, you know, "I'm nothing and my life is not important, but, you know, I've had a difficult life and I did wrong things. I was in prison and then I came out and I haven't been able to get a job. And so, you know, there's nothing special about my life, but I met Jesus and he makes me feel happy on the inside." And you know, as he was just sharing his testimony, the people listened to him. And one of the ladies, tears started trickling down her cheeks. And he'd never preached in any church, but just the ordinary testimony of an ordinary person sharing his struggles, and but that Jesus was with him in his ordinary life. That was more powerful than the preaching of a professional missionary. And, you know, that led that person to find God and understand the gospel. And so, you know, you might just be an ordinary person. You might not have some amazing story. But the story you have, share it. Don't butter it up like a superhero Christian. You know, just share it, the power of your ordinary life. And that will make a difference to someone else when they hear that. The last point, the power of everyday love. Mother Teresa is one of my heroes, and there's many great sayings of Mother Teresa. "It's not what you do that counts, but how much love you put into it." And then she said, "It's not all of us can do great things, but we can all do small things with great love." Now that's really true, isn't it? Not everyone stands on a stage and preaches to thousands or, you know, goes to Africa and starts some great project. Not everyone does great things, but we can all do little things with great love. And it's not what you do that counts, but how much love you put into it. I believe that's so true from God's perspective. You know, there are preachers and church leaders who, when they stand before God, they won't get as much reward as some others because for them it was just a job. But there's others that sit in their church that actually change the lives of people more than the preacher because they love them. You know, they pray for them. And they might never be at the front, but they might be influencing more people in the church just by their love and by their prayers and by ringing up people and sending them little cards when they're sick and helping them in practical ways. So it's not the position you have that makes a difference. It's how much love you put into the way you live. And we can all do that. I love what it says, what, you know, John the Baptist, he said about Jesus. He said, "He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire." And there's something about Jesus that when people met Jesus, because what was in him came out onto the people, and they were just, you know, as he touched them, they were embraced by the Holy Spirit and the fire of God came into them because that was what was in him. And I've been thinking the last couple of weeks that God wants us to, you know, he wants us to baptize people in his love and his presence as we meet them. Everyone you meet, you can baptize them in the love of God. You can shower love upon them and make them feel welcome and accepted and special. And they go from your presence feeling like they've just been immersed in this love of God. I want to be a person like that. Mother Teresa said this, and with this I'll finish. Spread love everywhere you go. First of all, in your own house. That's often the most challenging, isn't it? In your own house. Let no one ever come to you without leaving better and happier. Be the living expression of God's kindness. Kindness in your face. Kindness in your eyes. Kindness in your smile. Kindness in your warm greeting. If we learn to live everyday life well, then it will be suffused with the supernatural presence and power of God. And I just pray that God gives us the strength and the help to do that. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you give us the gift of life. Every day we have another chance to live in a different way. Please would you help us to do the ordinary things well. Help us to read the Bible and to pray and to witness and to love. Give us that supernatural edge to our life. Be with us and let our life be different. In Jesus' name, amen.